Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Brent. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's everybody's favorite sick cousin, Cousin Shade. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Well, man, we're starting a new streak here, Shane.
Yeah.
To where the cousins are—they're donating before the show even starts. Shout out, Liquid! What a guy Liquid is. Liquid—he's our IT specialist. he gifted a membership shade to Justin Dillard. Justin, welcome
to the family,
courtesy of Liquid Flames. What's up, buddy? I was just telling Shane off air. This might be the best damn show we've ever done.
Damn, that is quite. That's quite a feat, because we've had some pretty good shows, you know. We've probably had more bad ones than good ones, of course, but I'm excited. When I saw the word, and I had to look it up, superlative, yeah. I said, damn, it must be pretty special with that word in the title.
Pretty. You should have said super. It was right there for you.
Sorry. It's the drugs, you know. They're now kicking in.
All right, so hey, absolutely loaded, like I said. So, we'll get into it. Here in just a second, Shane, just got to remind the cousins, as always, we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sports book. Go check them out. They're going to be there all season long. MyBookie.ag, that's the website. Put in that promo code SEC when you put in an initial deposit, and they'll match it up to 100% this football season. Thanks to our friends over at MyBookie. You really want to help the show? Check them out over at MyBookie, just like Cousin Gage, Shane, member for 8 months. Cousin Shane, can you give me the best details on a South Carolina game day? I'll be up there for the Tide in October.
Well, you could go back to the episode, The Cock Walk, and I did put a map. And I'll tell you what, that was the perfect route when you're going down through there. I hit tons of tailgates. I got drunk multiple times by the time I made it to the game. So, yes, if you get a chance, check that one out. But really cool tailgate spot. Like I said, everything's kind of flat. It's a little overwhelming at first, just like most SEC campuses. But once you get down there, it is not hard to fall in love with those fans. So, yes, maybe – I don't know. Depends on what you're wearing, though. I wasn't wearing an Alabama shirt, so
yeah,
life may be a little tougher for you.
Well, speaking of love, you know who we love, Shane?
Who's that?
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
Yeah, thank you, JR.
Thank you, cuz.
Gifted a membership, Shane, to Dennis Bone. Dennis,
welcome to the family.
Courtesy of the legend JR.
Memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
So we got some Georgia to talk about, so that's mm-hmm. going to be pretty fun here. I did the top 10 running backs last episode, Shane, so I thought, why the hell not just keep that going? We got receivers I'm going to talk about. But hey, shout out this guy, Shane. Never had him. Maybe we'll try to get him on the show at some point. But Zach Albaverde, this is the guy that officially yep. broke the DJ Lagway injured news. He was on Feinbaum, so I just want to get the latest on old DJ. This is courtesy of Zach, who just was on Feinbaum today. He's out of his walking boot, DJ Lagway he's talking about, of course. He's moving around good at practice. This isn't a major injury. I anticipate him being out there when the Gators open the season. Mm. But that, you know what's interesting there, Shane? Again, I haven't listened to this. I'm going to go back and listen to the interview. I probably should have done that, but I was trying to get ready for this show. You know, the key thing there is he says, I anticipate him being out there when they open the season.
Yeah.
That, again, this could change tomorrow, but that does not tell me, hey, he's 100%. He's good. Yeah. He's good as can be. He's saying, you know, we expect him out there and not next week. He's saying when they open the season in a day of month. So, I don't know if this makes me feel better or worse, but I don't know. How does this make you feel?
Well, I anticipate Cousin Shane will be at the gym in the morning. So one of us is lying, or maybe both. I don't know. I mean, the kid just came out of a boot. So just to say he's going to now start week one, that may be creative journalism right there. And I'm not saying that he's lying because I'm not down there, but you know, there's still a long ways to go from a walking boot to opening up conference play. That's two different ends of this race, if you will. So, yeah, I hope. I honestly, I know I give Florida Gators a hard time, but I want DJ out there because I don't want this season to have an asterisk beside it because their best quarterback didn't get to play. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like if Billy's really going to get an opportunity to keep his damn job, I want him to have everything he needs so that we can't look back and say, well, what if, you know, I don't want that. Florida fans don't want this. They want a healthy quarterback. So I wish him nothing but the best, but just coming from a boot and then, stamping, saying that we're going to start week one. That's still a little early in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so, this superlatives, I don't even, if you know what this is, Shane,
I think I failed that part of English. So,
so shout out, I believe this was Chris Lowe over at ESPN.com.
Yeah.
He did a big write up today and it was kind of just, you know, breaking down things the way he sees it.
Yeah.
And it very heavily, you know, this was supposed to be across the country, but a lot of it applies to the SEC. So I just want to throw it your way, get your reactions, because I thought the cousins would appreciate this as well. So this is not a trick question or anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
According to Chris Lowe, toughest schedule in the entire country, and it is an SEC team.
Yes.
Who do you think Chris Lowe went with?
Mississippi State.
Man, I tried to tee you up perfectly because we're already on the theme. No, but it was Florida Gators is where Chris Lowe went. This is what Cousin Shane's been harping on all offseason. Why he hates the Gators, why they suck, why DJ Lagway is never going to play football again because of the schedule, apparently. But that's not a huge surprise, right, that Chris Lowe's got this as the toughest overall schedule, not in the SEC, in the country.
It's up there. You know, I do think it's top three. Maybe even top two. I felt like splitting hairs here. I do think Mississippi State has a tougher route. I mean, they are playing four teams that were in the college football playoffs last year, but, I cannot argue with the Florida Gators being on the top of his list.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot anymore. Toughest home schedule. Again, not the SEC, the country.
Yeah.
Mississippi State, according to Chris Lowe. And again, he's just saying home schedule. So who do they got in the home schedule? Arizona State, that just went to the college football playoff. They do get some breaks with that, with Alcorn and NIU. But then they get Tennessee, who was just in the playoff. Texas was in the playoff. Georgia was in the playoff. And Ole Miss, who was choking a Kentucky game away from being in the playoff. So I would imagine you have no objections to Mississippi State being called the toughest home schedule of any team in the country.
Nope. No objection at all.
And then I think A&M's going to go to the playoff this year. That's who they get on the road. Florida, I think if DJ Lagway is healthy, I think they'll be in it all year. You love Missouri.
Yep.
And then the other one's Arkansas. So it's not like they get a bunch. And these are all on the road. Hell, they ain't going to be favored in a single one of the road games.
Nope. Absolutely not. Will not be favored in a game after September 20th.
Hmm.
That's crazy, you know? I mean, I hate to say it, because Mississippi State, it wasn't that long ago we had 8-9 win seasons, but now we're saying, hey, past September 20th, you will not be favored in any football game you play.
Well, I think that could change, but it probably won't. But it could, you know? Like if Arkansas goes sideways, maybe we can go. Now, how about this? Again, I didn't tee this up. This is all Chris Lowe, and it all applies to the show. Easiest Power Four home schedule. It's an SEC team.
Yes.
Not necessarily a trick question. You know, it's among these that we've been talking about, the easiest schedules in the country. Any guess who's got the easiest home schedule?
Mizzou.
Close, but Texas.
No. Well, that's true. Damn, I forgot about that.
San Jose, UTEP, Sam Houston, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and A&M. Hell, there's probably only one of these games that'll be even competitive. And it's A&M, and that's, you know, I mean, Vanderbilt perhaps, but I think it's very unlikely.
Let's just, devil's advocate, Mike, we go back to grade school and they roll out Texas schedule here. How many of these games are televised? I mean, maybe three, the SEC ones, JP picking up a few of them.
Yeah, maybe about four. I'll give him four.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And then easiest away schedule. You nailed it the first time, Shane.
Tennessee, Missouri.
So their away schedule, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Arkansas.
What's Tennessee's away? So Auburn, I think Auburn, Oklahoma. Okay, try to remember those two.
Tennessee's got Bama, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi State. So they're a strong contender for it, but I would give the edge to Missouri here.
Yeah, splitting hairs again.
Just one other way to tell Missouri they got an easy schedule, which they hate hearing.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, I know. They can't stand it. What's worse, though, is if you lose, you know, because then everybody's going to double down, say, well, you had such an easy schedule.
But you know who doesn't have an easy schedule?
Who's that?
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Shout out Stephen Up, Shane. He donated a membership to Devil Man. Devil Man,
welcome to the family.
I'm going to have to change that name, Devil Man, if you want to stick.
Wait, is this Devil?
I think.
Damn.
The Devil.
You evil bastard. Welcome to the family.
And then we had one more. I'm trying to. Here he goes.
Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so appreciate you. Horton, he gifted to Crypto Bartone. Welcome.
Welcome to the family.
And Crypto Bartone gave us couple bucks here, $5, Shane. So, hell, he gets. That's why he's getting a donation, because he paid his own way. Really, you know what?
Yeah, absolutely. He said, "Don't give me nothing free. I'll earn it. I appreciate you guys."
Now, how about this? So, this sticking with the, we just got a couple more here with the schedule superlatives.
What is a superlative?
It's just like, it's kind of like how I'm saying, like, toughest this, easiest that. You know, that's a superlative, like an adjective.
Yeah, that's such a big word, man. I like it.
So these are he calls these the must-see non-conference games.
Yeah.
And these are all SEC. That's the only reason I'm asking you. And I want you to just tell us which one Cousin Shane personally is most excited about, all right?
Okay.
So let me go through these real quick. Auburn-Baylor, week one. Mm-hmm. Texas at Ohio State, also week one. LSU at Clemson, week one. Bama-Florida State. Those are all week one. Week two, Michigan at Oklahoma, Kansas at Missouri, Texas A&M at Notre Dame, Florida at Miami, and Clemson at South Carolina. You got to pick one. I'm not saying necessarily the best game or anything like that. I'm just wondering which of those, and there's no wrong answer here, is Cousin Shane most excited to see?
Man, that's a good one, man. That is such a damn good one. And I can't say like week one this one, week two that one.
No.
Why do you do this? That's a what's the word for that? Superlative. I'm in quite a superlative here. I would say, I hate to be this guy. I hate to be in line with every single person that's out there, like every ESPN article that's going to come out. But I gotta say, Texas, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta see. I mean, the Archmania has I just got to see it, Mike. That's just where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rematch. You know, it was a hell of a game. I know Ohio State claims it wasn't. It literally went down to the wire. I realized there was a, you know, scoop and score touchdown, but you know, that aside from that, I mean, it was a damn stalemate. So
yeah,
two different teams this year, both lost a lot to the NFL. It's going to dictate a lot of the early season narrative. Can't wait for it. You know what? Mm-hmm.
Speaking of superlative, Joel.
$20. Appreciate you, Joel. Joel Heyman. Great job with the interviews at Media Days. I loved hearing from all the beat reporters, even Billy. Hook up. Yeah, appreciate you, Joel.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, Mike's got to be coming close to the end of that list. I know he put another Adam one out there. Kentucky boys, man, they may be at the bottom, but it doesn't mean they can't swing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we got more. I'm going to ask you about that in just a second. Yeah. All right, and then last one. This is the last superlative, and then we can move on here, Shane. I'm just having so much fun with these. These games, Chris Lowe said, you better be careful, but basically upset potential.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run through them, and you tell me which one you're most concerned about the SEC may lose it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so Toledo at Kentucky.
Yes.
South Florida at Florida. Now that DJ Lagway is kind of up in the air. Arkansas State, Arkansas. We got Arkansas at Memphis. How we get two Arkansas in here, I'll never know. And then last but not least, Tulane, which they got a hell of a coach, at Ole Miss. Which one are you most concerned could be a potential upset?
Speaking of Kentucky, holy Toledo.
Oh, no.
For me, just so many things being broke in there in Lexington. Toledo's not a pushover. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, Toledo's a superlative top team. But I will tell you this. They are favored to win their conference. So keep that in mind. I think that's the obvious answer.
So it sounds like in your mind Toledo could finish 15th in the SEC.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
I see what cousin Luis did, Shane. Luis gave us $10, Shane. We will kick Ohio State's ass. Mark it down, cousins. Absolutely. Can't wait for it. They better. Because I'm tired of these Big Ten idiots running their damn mouths, you know?
Now listen, I know there's two camps on this, and the camp I'm in is probably smaller than most. There's those that just root for their team and failure for others. Mm-hmm. Me, I'm like, I root for my team and the SEC conference. So whenever Texas goes to Ohio State, I will be pulling for Texas to whoop Ohio State's ass because it's worth it to me to just put the stamp on how – because last couple of seasons, it's been embarrassing to watch the Southeastern Conference not win a national championship. I don't care, man. We got to have it. So this is kind of a launch pad for this conference. It's a big, big game.
Yeah, and you know, you got to see the bigger picture too, right? So yeah. SEC getting marquee wins over the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That very well could be the difference between getting a fourth team, maybe mm-hmm. a fifth team exactly. in the college football playoff over a Big Ten. I mean, from here on out, I mean, I shouldn't be telling you anything you don't know already. It's going to be SEC. It's going to be Big Ten vying for these spots. And, you know, these games may not determine it, but they very well could determine, you know, where the committee's at, if there's a 6-2 Big Ten versus 6-2 SEC. If the damn SEC sweeps their ass this year, they'll probably give it to the SEC team.
That's a very superlative point, Mike. Am I using it right?
I think you butchered that, but all right, I give you an A for effort. All right. So top 10 receivers, Shane.
Yes.
Buddy, this was significantly harder to do than the running backs. Yeah. We got a ton of receivers in this conference, and you know it's a pass-heavy league now. We've gotten away from the bell cow running backs. Mm-hmm. So there's really, I mean, to be quite honest with you, I mean, I'm going to stretch it a little bit to be like, all right, these 10 guys are it. I had my list of receivers down to 22 that I uh-huh. considered for top 10. So real quick, I just want to go through the guys that just missed the cut. Mike Matthews at Tennessee, we simply have not seen enough for him. Again, I am trying to project ahead of who the top guys are at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to just give it to him because he's a five-star. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Nick Harbor, same deal at South Carolina. Chris Marler, remember we had him down at Media Days. He said, hey, they're fired up. He learned the route tree. Well, this is his third year at college football. So, again, I wish him well. We think Lenore Sellers is going to be elite.
Yep.
But if we're just now learning the route tree, I mean, I'm not guaranteeing you're going to be a top 10 receiver in this conference.
Right, right.
Now, I actually even think Mazio Bennett, his teammate, maybe even better. So both of them just missed the cut for me. Terry Bussey, A&M. Mm-hmm. This is his second year as a receiver. I think, you know, had we seen a little bit more from him last year, I would have put him in the top 10. He just missed the cut. DeAndre Moore, Texas. He's their top returning receiver. Could have easily put him in the top 10. He just missed the cut for me. I'd put these guys on the list just for you, Shane, just because you're obsessed with Barry and Brown there at LSU. I got to put him on there. Mm-hmm. Nick Anderson, I kind of considered too, but he's been a little banged up. Rusty almost had me converted on Colby Young, the receiver, Georgia. He just missed the cut. Jeremy Bernard, Alabama, just missed the cut. Trey Wilson, Florida, just missed the cut. And I know everybody and their mother's high on Eric Singleton, the Auburn transfer, but I'm going to put him 11th, so he literally just missed the cut.
Okay, all right. Did you get that, guys?
Oh, wait, I screwed up. So Trey Wilson, I said out?
Yeah.
He's number 10. Okay. Give me number 10. I think he gets back. I'm assuming DJ is going to be good. I'd probably put Trey Wilson a little bit higher, but I don't have a ton of confidence in Billy Napier to do anything but run the football. You know what I mean? So when they have a receiver, they need to make a big play. It's going to be Trey Wilson. And I'm putting him number 10. He was banged up last year. I think he has a big bounce back.
Well, I mean, he was one of the ones that I felt like was always that was in the top 10 list coming into the 24 season. Obviously the injuries have, but this is a kid that really popped off the year prior. And we saw, if you're a Tennessee fan, unfortunately you got to see, you know, just how explosive this kid can be. And because of this time, I think we've forgotten, but you're right. He's an absolute animal, absolute dog.
Yep. All right. Number 9, Shane.
Yeah.
I think one fan base is going to be sick that they let this kid go. I don't know the backstory, but new Georgia receiver Noah Thomas was at A&M, really started to heat up late last season. I think a lot, not that they have a bad receiving core, but I would think a lot more of it if Noah Thomas was still there. I think Noah Thomas, we're going to look back and be like, damn, how did we let him go to Georgia? I think he's in for a huge year.
I think you're right. I do. I love this kid. I've followed him around every stop he's made, and I feel like he just needs the opportunity. And, you know, one thing that you can say about Georgia, and of course Kirby, he'll start talking about the running game before you know it, but this is a passing football team, and I feel like that's bodes well for the success that Noah can have down there.
Mm-hmm. All right, number 8. Oh, you're going to love this one, Shane.
I'll be the judge of that.
And he's talking the talk down in camp already. They need a big play. Yeah. He's already letting them know, go to me. Give me Kevin Coleman, Mizzou transfer from Mississippi State, lit it up down there. Now he's going to be the number one at Missouri. We don't even know who the damn quarterback is. If we knew, maybe I'd put him a little bit higher. But again, top 8 is pretty good. Again, uncertainty at quarterback, maybe that's a little bit. I've already said Ahmad Hardy, I think, is going to lead the SEC in rushing. So I can't rightfully say we're going to lead it in rushing and lead it in receiving. But I think number 8 receiver in the SEC, Kevin Coleman, I think he's going to be elite this year.
Kevin, give me the damn ball, Coleman. That's what it should be. Well, you kids don't remember that one, but that's what you want, man. Absolute dog. And we talked to some Mizzou players, and that's one of the things I was afraid there would be a drop off, you know, now that Luther's gone, now that Theo's gone. They said, hey, man, I guarded both of them. And this is an absolute animal. So I'm looking for some big numbers from Coleman this season.
All right, so this one is a little bit of a projection.
Yeah.
I think you're going to like it, though, because you seem to be over the moon on him, Shane. Give me Mr. KC Concepcion down there at Texas A&M. I think he comes in, he fits the scheme to a T. Yep. Elko loves him. Marcel Reed loves him. So, you know, we're seeing early camp videos at a College Station. They're going to force feed this guy the ball. Give me KC Concepcion, number 7.
It's tough to argue. I probably would have had him lower on this list if it weren't for the damn coach and quarterback telling me how good he's going to be. So, yeah, I'm expecting some big things from him just because he's also one of those space invaders. You know, just get the ball in an area and he will come down with it. I feel like if you've got that kind of confidence from your quarterback, then obviously they're seeing it in practice. So expect some big numbers from him.
Okay, number 6, Shane. I think this guy – When you get mentioned among, you know, some of the best receivers in the conference,
yep.
I don't think this guy ever really gets mentioned outside of his own fan base, and it's a damn shame. Give me Ole Miss receiver Caden Lee, number 6.
Yep.
Austin Simmons, we expect him to kind of come in. Hell, Peter Burns got us convinced this kid's going to win the Heisman one day, you know what I mean? So who's his number 1 target? It's going to be Caden Lee, number 6. I think Caden Lee is going to have a big year for the Rebels.
And I thought he was an LSU guy. What's this all about? So
maybe he was trying to double cousin curse him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong. Ole Miss going to have some names out there running around, but this is a guy that stayed consistent. This is a guy that's going to be, I feel like, Simmons' safety blanket, if you will. So I'm looking for big numbers from Caden Lee right now.
All right, so LSU, they got all these transfers, right? Everybody's enamored. Oh, man, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Well, don't forget the guy that led you last year in catches and receiving. Give me Aaron Anderson, number 5, the slot guy for Garrett Nussmeier. This is going to be his security blanket. He led him last year. So I think this year he's going to do it again. Aaron Anderson, number 5. I think he's criminally underrated down there in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, going to be talking a little bit about him tomorrow morning on the Hangover Show, the LSU wide receiver room in particular. But as I'm looking at these guys, I feel what you're saying. Everybody's enamored by the new names, the big names that have came in. They forget the one that's there. This guy's an absolute beast. I mean, just turn on the highlight reels. And us, and you talk about chemistry, they already have it. Big year for him.
Yeah, kind of like me and you. Hey, you know, I don't know if you remember this, Shane. I quite frankly, I didn't remember it until I edited the video yesterday, but we had Randall Cobb at the desk. Go check it out when this video is over. SEC Network, Kentucky legend. We said, who's some of your favorite receivers? Second guy he mentioned, Shane. Give us Deion Burks, Oklahoma, the transfer, where, again, this guy didn't get to showcase what he had last year due to injuries. Mm-hmm. They're going to air it out with John Mateer. Nothing runs like a Mateer. Well, nothing runs like Oklahoma social team because they're showing is Mateer to Deion Burks touchdown. Buddy. So I think Deion Burks bursts out on the scene. Give me number four receiver in the SEC this year, Deion Burks.
Right into my veins. That's what I say. Keep them videos coming out, Oklahoma, because I'm right there with you. We were enamored by him for the spring last year, and then he disappears, obviously, with the injury. But this dynamic duo, John Mateer, Deion, this is going to be this is the marriage that we can't wait to see. So, absolutely, keep them coming.
All right, number three, Shane.
Yeah.
And really, I'm splitting hairs with these last three, just so you know. You know what? I said that for you. Give me Cam Coleman. I know a lot of people have him as number one or number two. Could easily make the case for that. This is maybe a play for me, Shane, a little bit that I don't 100% trust the quarterback, don't trust the offense necessarily. But hell, that was, I don't want to say in shambles last year, but that was questionable last year, and Cam Coleman still went off. So he's so good, he's going to produce either way. So
yes,
give me Cam Coleman number three, and if you want to put him two or one, I got no issue with that.
Well, I mean, I have an issue. He's not there on your list. Not too superlative of you, Mike. Not too superlative.
Well, I've already predicted this guy. That when I was doing this together, I was like, well, I can't put this guy any lower than number two because I've already promised or bold taked that he's going to be number two lead the SEC in receiving. Yes. Give me Ryan Wingo, breakout star, Texas Longhorns. I think he's going to be Arches. I'm already seeing Bobby Burton's putting out all these videos. It's nothing but Arch to our guy Ryan Wingo here scoring touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. So I think Wingo's the breakout star at receiver in the SEC.
But he's not the only breakout star down there in Texas, Mike. Let's give Cousin Lou a shout out. Thanks, Cousin Shane, for that great outlook. Hook him. Cousin Lou, I appreciate you. And he's right. Yeah.
Thanks, Lou.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say all these mean things about Texas when they got so many damn athletes down there that could potentially be the best. Like I could argue they have the best running back. I could argue they've got the best wide receiver. I could argue they've got the best, you know, it's just one position after another. You keep these names keep surfacing. So Texas is absolutely loaded.
Yeah, and number one, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but if I have to hear how damn old he is ever again, I'm taking Ryan Williams off the ballot. So number one, again, he kind of faded towards the stretch, but I think a lot of that had to do with Milroe more than anything.
Yeah,
we need to see a lot from Ryan Williams this year if he's gonna live up to the billing. But, you know, I think he's talented enough. He could be a Heisman contender, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and he talks the talk. You know, he talks the talk, walks the walk. This is a guy that I also feel like, you know, Grubb hasn't texted me or anything like that, but I feel like when he came down there to Alabama, they said, hey, how can we get the most out of Mr. Woods? And I feel like that is the game plan. And brother, they are going to feature him heavily in this offense.
Cousin Mike Andrews says, I can argue Cracker Barrel's meatloaf is the best.
Get the hell out of here. I love Cracker Barrel, but that ain't the best thing on the menu.
Well, you know what we do love, Shade?
What's that?
Poncho Outdoors. Oh. Check them out. PonchoOutdoors.com/SEC. That's how you got to do it. You got to type it just like that, just like it says on the screen here, to get you $10 off and free shipping, Shane, over at Poncho Outdoors.
Yep.
It's an Austin-based business that's got some awesome gear that, you know, it's even SEC related. They got that orange Neyland t-shirt, Shane.
Yeah.
Cannot wait to wear that and showcase that for the cousins. But it's not just Tennessee stuff, obviously. They got you covered, Shane, with four different styles in every outfit that they got there. They've got the Western. They've got the original. They got the denim. They got the ultra light for cousin Shane over here. He doesn't go anything but ultra light. So it's the perfect gift, perfect shirt, breathable, wears great. Check them out. Poncho Outdoors/SEC. That link is in the show notes as well to make it super easy for you guys to get you $10 off and free shipping over at Poncho Outdoors.
I got excited, Mike. I heard the doorbell ring. I was like, yes. It's here, you know, and I get out there and it's like some Shein order that my wife ordered 4 months ago. So still waiting for my poncho to come in, man.
You know what we're not waiting for?
What's that?
Cousin Dirk Lorenz. Dirk, welcome to the family. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz.
So I got something interesting to run by you here, Shane. Whoa, yeah. Wait a second. Even more interesting. $50 from Cousin Rick.
Damn,
Shane.
Rick, off the top rope.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Giggum Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. He says
Thank you, cuz. Watch
the film guy. We interviewed him at Media Days. Go check that out. It was a great interview. And Arch is definitely the real deal. He beats Ohio State and makes the playoffs. Then bold prediction, Arch skips the draft, returns to Texas. He will want to win another one. Try for his first victory over A&M. Beat the hell out of TU. Giggum. So you see what Rick did there? He was so nice, so kind.
So
he said,
nice.
Oh, hell, but then you're going to lose to the Aggies. You know what? So... Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it.
And Cousin Clint gave us $5, Shane. I root for any other team in the SEC against anyone except TU. I wouldn't root for them even if they were playing the University of Russia. That's fair.
I love it, man. I love it. This, you know, we didn't get all this Texas A&M excitement until Texas joined. It's like it woke up this the evil side of Aggies, and I absolutely love it, man. Drag them through the mud. Come on now.
Jeez Louise says, when's the Netflix thing comes out? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So, a couple days away. It's going to be pretty fun.
Mike's going to be up all night waiting for it to drop. He's going to be so tired the next day.
Hey, you were talking about your doorbell. Cousin Tony says you thought it was your DoorDash.
Uber Eats today. We got Olive Garden. I hate Olive Garden. Absolutely hate it, but they got good soup. So I did go with that.
Hey, so I wanted to ask you this. This is where I wanted to start here. We go around the league here. But Oklahoma over under 6.5. You know, there's so much optimism, so much hype. And you referenced the video that I dropped today, Adam Luckett, Kentucky Sports Radio. Go check it out. We asked everybody at Media Days for a bold prediction, and he said Oklahoma does not make a bowl game. So predictions are all over, right? Yeah. We had a Matt Hayes, another bold prediction. We didn't even ask him for a bold prediction. He just gave it to us. He said Oklahoma's winning the SEC this year.
Yes.
And I don't know if you saw this. I want to shout out Chris Doering. He does a hell of a job, SEC Network. This is something he apparently said, I think, right after Media Days. I think, and he's talking about John Mateer here, I think John Mateer is going to be the SEC Player of the Year. I also think he's going to win the Heisman.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, opinions are all over the place on Oklahoma. But here's where I wanted to ask you, because I'm seeing Adam Luckett catching a lot of hell for saying Oklahoma won't make a bowl game. What do you think is more likely? Now, you have to pick one. Mm. Oklahoma wins the SEC, or Oklahoma doesn't make a bowl game?
Let's bring that schedule up one more time. One more time. More likely. Do you know how hard it is to win the SEC? You know what I'm saying? I feel like...
Steve Spurrier's told me. It's harder than winning the national championship.
I would say more likely... Damn, Mike. More likely don't make a bowl game.
Right. And I think that's fair. Now,
neither
one of us is saying Oklahoma's not making a bowl game.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to me, and maybe it's just because it's optimism, it's off season, that Adam's catching so much hell for a take that is, I think, more realistic than Oklahoma winning the SEC. But, again, that's probably just fandom, but – I do think it's more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, shit, they're 6.5, man. You know what I'm saying? You fall slightly short of that goal. Guess what? You're not making a bowl game. So, I think
you get a little too locked into these over-unders, though. I mean, every year. I mean, South Carolina last year was 4.5. They won 9 games. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
The over-under doesn't really matter.
For me, though, it was Oklahoma guys. I mean, we talked to KREF guys. We talked to Barry, I didn't get warm fuzzies that Oklahoma is on the cusp of winning an SEC championship. Now, again, we have to see it, but they are seeing it. They are there. You know, that's the point of having them on, is to kind of tell us what's going on in Oklahoma. And I do feel like success is around the corner. I do feel like they do take a step forward, but to just say that 2025 is the year that they win the college football playoff and get a playoff spot, I'm not there yet, but I can be convinced if John Mateer comes out here playing like a damn Heisman. You know, if he does come and Deion takes that step forward, if this offensive line does come together, if the defensive line that Coles tells us is the best in the country is a wrecking ball up front, there's potential with this Oklahoma team. But it's for me, it's just such a high ceiling, low floor, and it's all based on one or two guys taking that step, and John Mateer being one of them.
Well, you know who just took that next step, Shane?
Who's that?
Stringer Films. Stringer.
Hell yeah.
Welcome
to the family.
I hope he's an Oklahoma fan after that rant, Shane. But hey, speaking of not a rant, but I thought this was pretty cool. Marty McGee, I'd play the clip. I don't want to get taken down here. But this was at Media Days themselves. They interview people following in our steps. But they asked Garrett Nussmeier, hey, what's it like to be the projected number one pick in the NFL draft? His answer, Shane? My goal is to win the national championship with LSU. So he don't give a damn about the damn draft. He's trying to win a damn national championship.
Yes.
I think that's the perfect answer for a question like this. And again, that just gives me a little bit more confidence that we're going to come out here and whoop Clemson's ass and maybe finally reach the college football playoff there in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't hear a left tackle say this last year.
Oh, shit, I forgot. No, Shane, that was last year. This is this year. You know what?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. New season.
Damn it. I forgot all about that.
Oh, shit.
What did he say? I think he said 10 and 2 is a failure or something like that.
Yeah.
Then they go 9 and 3.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn. Sorry. Sorry.
I keep trying to tee you up, and you keep slamming me back down.
I'm sorry. That's not too superlative of me.
Mm-mm. Well, you know who we can't slam down, Shane?
Who's that?
Coach Kirby Smart, the best damn coach in college football. Georgia just opened. He met with the media for the first time.
Yeah.
And I thought this was just interesting, Shane, because I don't think there'll ever be another Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Just the game's changed and everything like that. But this is like the next generation. This is the guy that we should all be listening to when it comes to, where the game's at and how to achieve at its highest level. I don't think there's any debate about that right now. So he was asked, hey, this is your youngest team ever in terms of freshmen. And it's not unique to Georgia. I've seen Adam Sparks. He does a hell of a job covering Tennessee. He did a breakdown. It's Tennessee's youngest team.
Yeah.
This is the case for a lot of people. This is their youngest team ever. Mm-hmm. Here's Kirby Smart on that. I just thought this was kind of an interesting message from Kirby.
Having the 54% freshmen and sophomores on the roster, first and second year players, does that change any of the approach for you guys as a staff in terms of trying to install things or find roles for guys that they can kind of take on without overwhelming them with the complexity of a system, or is it the standard kind of that it's always been?
Well, I think the way it is 54%, and it's a lot, and it worries me as a coach, but it's not any different probably anywhere else. It's not like anybody's sitting back saying, oh, well, we got 80% guys that have been here and 20% new guys. We have all, as coaches, evolved, and we have more kids coming in the spring. So we've done more with these kids than we've ever done before. I'm talking about spring, walkthrough. Post-spring this year, we even took it and said, you know what? We're going to do 30 minutes a day of football school. We're going to dedicate our time to, like, football school 101. So the onboarding and the process you go through, the summer plan, every minute we have by NCAA allowed, we use. And we have done more to this point with kids than we've ever done before. So, you know, am I worried? Am I concerned? Yeah, always worried, concerned about new guys. But we've onboarded guys, and we're going to continue to install at a fast rate because we want to see what they can learn, especially during this 2018-20 practice window, and find out who can play football and then move into the season of game planning.
So I think this is just another example that people may not fully grasp. I think cousins like that follow the SEC so closely, like all our cousins, I think they realize it. But I think this is part of why we're saying there's so much parity. This is how you have Georgia, you know, losing Ole Miss, but beating Texas and winning the SEC. This is how you have Notre Dame. Remember all last year, it was like Texas A&M. They beat A&M. Then they lose to Northern Illinois, whatever the hell it was. And then they go to the national championship. You know, it's just like, I think it's just, it's the sport is unique. More so than it's ever been, with the ups and downs.
Yeah,
and I think it opens it up for everybody. Now Texas and Alabama and Georgia, they should be excited.
Yeah,
but I think it's the furthest thing from a lock that those teams are going to be national championship bound. If that makes sense.
No, I get it, and you know. It's youth. Youth is changing. I don't want to be that old man that says, you know, you know how it is. Like, I got kids.
I didn't say that. That's why I played the clip for you.
I got 10 years between the oldest and youngest. And raising the oldest and youngest is night and day different. You know, this younger generation, by God, they don't have any respect. But you can't force them either. One of the things I've heard a lot this year from these coaches in these press conferences is kind of like a soft hands. You know, you've just gotta, you can't be mean, you can't be yelling at them all the time. It's like you almost have to, oh, great job. You have to tell them when they're doing good so that it kind of keeps their spirits up. Or guess what? They get pissed off, they go to the house, they call their agent, and they're looking for another team to go to. So that's it is a different animal, and I know what Kirby wants to do. Kirby wants to just get into them, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how he grew up, but you can't do that anymore.
Grandpappy Shane says hook him. But so what Kirby's does, he saves that for the season, because we have all heard the leaked audios.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just don't do that in camp. You don't, you got to build them up, basically, is what fall camp's all about. And we'll find out here in a month who did a better job building them up.
Yeah, and you got to build up leaders, because ultimately it's the kids that are in that locker room with them that are going to pull them along. You know, coaches can yell till they're blue in the face, but if the team's united, then I feel like then you've got a better shot. What we hear a lot of times is how teams kind of break apart late in the season, but they've got their own little camps inside that locker room.
Hey, Cousin Luis said, to hell with that. We're going to bring the heat. If we don't, Cousin Mike, I'll donate 1,000. Let's
shit.
I can go hook him, he says. All right, so, hey, where's things at with Alabama, Shane?
Yeah.
In this quarterback competition, old DeBoring, he didn't have much to say on it. But his offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, today, not super revealing, but he kind of gave the latest couple practices down here in Tuscaloosa.
All these guys, I think they're in different levels of their progression as quarterbacks in college. And I think that all of them, just like any position, have a lot of different strengths. I think that right now Ty is continuing to show a ton of command. I thought he did a better job today than the other two guys with that. So he continues to progress as a leader, you know, and Keelan's ability to see the field and just his vision, his innate ability to make a play, even potentially when there's not one there, is a really, really high level. And then Austin just has elite arm talent, you know, big guy that's strong and can power through things. Whoever that person is has got to come out and be able to show that it's clearly him. And that's what this football team needs. And all three of those guys know that. And so I think being able to show up and do that every day and not waver in and out of the type of player he is, the type of decision maker he is, the inconsistencies that a young quarterback would show, or a quarterback that's not ready to start. So as long as Ty can do that, or one of the other guys, that's going to be the player that's going to start a quarterback.
All right, again, so not revealing anything, but still just based on reading between the lines, it still certainly seems like it's Ty Simpson right now that is going to be your starting quarterback at Alabama, don't you think, based on that?
Like, percentage, though. Because DeBoer came out here and talked about, I guess, the growth of the quarterbacks in that room. And Ty, he didn't give as much. But do you think maybe that's just pushing those young kids along? Like, you know what I'm saying? I never really expected a quarterback competition. I felt like this was Ty's job to lose. But if you're given percentage right now, would you say 85, 95% Ty right now?
Yeah, probably 90, 95.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, that Keon head there. They're talking the growth. I mean,
I've heard from people that have seen the practice.
Yeah.
The other quarterbacks look like grown men. He looks like us, not a grown man.
Okay. Yeah.
That's just what I've heard. So I just don't think it makes any sense in the world. You roll him out with DeBoer's getting fired if they lose to Florida State. Right. On the road. You got Georgia week four. I'm not throwing a true freshman at that.
I wonder what they'd say if they saw us on the field, you know? Like, there's some grown-ass men, and there's some just grown. I mean.
Well, we got a Pittman clip next. It's funny you mentioned that, Shane, because this is exactly what they'd say. Shout out Sam Pittman. I got two here, but one's real quick.
Sticking with size, I think both of those safeties you mentioned, Mitchell is 222 and Morris about 225. That's some big old world big safeties.
They're big, and they look, you know, they don't look like me. They look good, you know, and.
They're big. They don't look like me. They look good.
Don't change, coach. Don't change.
But he also had one other thing. It's a little bit longer. I just thought this was fascinating, Shane, with you know, obviously we talk about this portal and NIL and this and that. And how do you evaluate, how does that change anything? And Sam Pittman says, hell, we started to, it's more about the families, people around the player. I just thought this was fascinating. Let's kick it over to Sam Pittman here.
Given what roster turnover has turned into now in college football, and as long as you've been doing this, does that make you look differently at what chemistry or team continuity is, and maybe with this group specifically, you know, what do you feel like you have?
Makes you look at the families more. Now, we have a very short window, but you have to know where they can, you have to know their parents. I think we've done a good job of identifying guys through identifying their parents. You know, I think that makes a big difference. You know, for instance, Quentin Green called me the day before the portal opened this spring and said, "My kid's not going anywhere. I just want you to know that." Man, thank you, Lord, you know. But at the same time, he could have called and said, "Hey, my son needs X number of millions of dollars or he's leaving." And one of them right, one of them wrong, I don't know. That didn't happen. I didn't have to talk about it. So in the portal world, you're looking for people that want to be hogs, want to stay hogs, want to give us opportunity to keep them as hogs. And a lot of times that comes from either a understanding agent or parents or both, along with the young man, Cam Ball could have went for a whole bunch of money. He didn't. Why? He loves the hogs, has for a long time. So you have to look at all those different things. And then if you have people go on the portal, you can't sit around and go, "Oh my Lord," you got to go, "Okay, I got an opportunity to try to better the football team." And it doesn't have to necessarily be in that position. It's, I have a scholarship here. I have money available here. Let's go try to make our football team a better football team. So you neither look at it, "Oh man, we lost somebody," or you look at it the other way. Let's go try to help our football team. And that's what we chose to do.
So I just thought that was kind of interesting. A little window into, you know, you got to ever be changing and evolving as the sport is. And I think I know he's just specifically talking about Arkansas there, but I would imagine that's how a lot of these coaches are feeling right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like a lot of these coaches are finally getting tools, too. You now see this with the general managers and, you know, some of the tough decisions that Sam Pittman doesn't like to get involved with. He wants to be – even Coach Kelly said this the other day. I want to be in the center of it, but I don't want to be – or I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be in the center of it. And I feel like that's what, you know, ultimately Coach Pittman's job is to keep this family together – to coach football, but the business side, it's kind of nice that he's not really involved with that anymore. It's now other parties. So, yeah, it's evolving, but, I mean, it always is. College football's always changing, and just when we get comfortable with it, there'll be two or three new roles next year that we've got to implement.
Hey, and then one more from Arkansas, Shay. Not Sam Pittman, but this is the strength coach. Little quick clip. I thought this was just kind of interesting. You could sit here and say, you know, this is excuses, but I think this is the truth. Shout out to Ben Souders, and he's talking specifically about Talen Green here. You know, Arkansas needs reason for optimism. I think their number one reason is their quarterback, Talen Green. And I think these comments from Ben Souders will get them fired up, Shane.
But one thing I want to do tell y'all, y'all don't understand how bad Talen was hurt last year. This year, especially the last half of the season, I'd watch out. I mean, the kid's worked his butt off. We've kind of kept it in-house, but he's a tough sucker. What he dealt with the last seven games of our season, I mean, in the bowl game, a lot of people wouldn't even play. I'll just keep it like that. I'm not going to let his info out. But long story short, he's a tough kid. He's put on 10 pounds, another kid. Put on 10 pounds, it looks like it. And his speed, he is now, the last 2 weeks of summer is really trending up. So his speed is only going to get better too. So,
All right, Shane. So again, if I'm an Arkansas fan, that's firing me up. Again, remember he was hurt against Tennessee, couldn't finish the game if I recall right. I mean, he really got banged up in that one. But when we saw Talen Green at 100%, he said that even in the bowl game, a lot of kids wouldn't have played. He looked like $1 million. He carried Arkansas to that win. I'm feeling pretty confident about my high prediction of Talen Green.
You know, we had a lot of conversations about which coach would beat up which coach. If we had a coordinator one, I don't know. I may put my money on this guy. He's got a little crazy in him, and I like it. So, but back on Talen, healthy Talen he's the captain of this ship, man. And, you know, for those that have just completely disowned Arkansas football, the only reason that they're going to respect him throughout this season is because of what Talen Green brings to the football field. He is an equalizer, and what I mean by that, he's a guy that comes in there as an underdog and then all of a sudden sucks the wind out of that stadium because he has that ability to not just put points on the board but keep his offense on the football field. The guy's an absolute freak athlete, and I really hope he does well this year.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. Over 400 yards, 3 touchdowns he scored in the bowl game, Shane.
Yes.
When you had the damn strength coach saying, not a lot of guys would have gutted out through that. Imagine what he would have done if at 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, he's just going to have to learn to get down. He's got to learn to get rid of the football. There's some things that he needs to work on schematically, and I'm sure him and Bobby B have been I would imagine that's the conversations because you need him healthy all season long because if Talen Green comes out, then – any chance of Arkansas having a successful season goes right out the window.
Right. All right. Hey, Shane, last one here. We don't get to talk a lot of Vanderbilt, but buddy, they got a superstar of the damn league here. So we're going to give Diego Pavia some love here. But, you know, one thing that I've hit on all off season with Vanderbilt, Shane, we know what they're trying to be on offense, right? It's ground control.
Yes.
It's running the football. It's chewing up the clock. But one thing that was really missing, I know they have Eli Stowers, maybe the best tight end in the country. He probably is the best tight end in the country, but they've been missing kind of like explosive plays. They're missing that big passing threat. And they added Trent Hudson, the Mississippi State transfer, who before he went to Mississippi State, he was actually with Diego and all these coaches at New Mexico State. He redshirted last year, but he scored 10 touchdowns a year prior. And then two names to know, Shane, transfer Trey Richardson, Division II, which I never even heard of Washburn, but apparently he was a speed demon there. And then they signed a true freshman named Caleb Barnett, who's from Oklahoma. He's a small guy, but he won the 100 meters and he won the long jump in Oklahoma. So again, very fast athlete.
Yeah,
I say all that because those are the guys that old Diego's hyping up here in this clip.
How does it feel to be back with Trent on offense, a guy that you played with a couple of years ago? Do you think him being with you and Tim Beck and some other Mexico State guys can help him?
Yeah, I'm glad he redshirted last year, that's for sure. You know, they don't call him T. Tutty for no reason. He's a red zone threat. He's a deep threat. But anything that touches his hands, like, he's coming down with it.
You guys are bombing the ball down the field right now, and, you know, like Trent and Trey obviously are new. How are those guys going to possibly help add a new element to the offense?
Yeah, I feel like figure out how to say this. I feel like it's going to be really hard this year because you have so much talent around you. It's like we're only going to get 60 plays, 65 plays a game, you know, and so it's hard for everyone to touch the ball. So everyone just talks about, hey, if you touch that thing, you better take it to the house. You know, that might be your last opportunity. But it's like crazy to think about, like, Trey is so twitchy and fast, and then so is KB, the freshman. He weighs like 140 pounds or something. But it's like playing with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle on the Dolphins, you know, and it's just good luck guarding them.
Shane, I mean, for a man that talks a lot of trash, that's a pretty bold statement right there.
T. Tutty. They don't call him T. Tutty for nothing.
I get the last time they played together, he scored 10 touchdowns that year.
I mean, this is what I like to hear. I want to hear. I mean, that's why we like Pavia, because he's the ultimate hype man. Nobody's talking about Vanderbilt. Hell, we're 56 minutes into this thing, finally getting to him. You know what I'm saying? But right. When he gets the opportunity, he's going to let you know right now that this is a football team that's going to surprise some folks. So, yeah, I love the confidence, and I do love the playmakers that he was able to not only keep, because let's not act like, I mean, people were poaching Vanderbilt every single year. They were able to keep a lot of talent in that locker room, and a lot of that had to do with Diego Pavia here.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, Shane, because, again, this is without the 20-plus million that these teams are now allowed to spend on athletes.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt doesn't get these guys.
Right.
They do get poached. They don't get to keep Diego Pavia. You know what I mean? So, again, is it going to make Vanderbilt national champions? Probably not. But even though they are saying out loud, he said it in the interview, that's the goal this year. Mm-hmm. But it could keep them far more competitive. It wasn't that long ago, Shane. It was about 3 years ago, or really two, when Vanderbilt was like a damn bye week. And it was, I think it's disrespectful to the game. It's disrespectful to the SEC. Now Vanderbilt's a tough out. And last clip, Shane, this may be the best clip we're ever going to get here. Diego Pavia was asked about his backup quarterback, Blaze Berkowitz, also a transfer from New Mexico State. They said, man, he's kicking ass out here. What is different with him? This is the best clip perhaps we'll ever play on this show, Shane.
Oh, Blaze is, you guys see it, he's lighting it up. And any given chance, you know, the same thing happened to Mexico State. If I don't play good, Blaze is up. And so that's why I got to bring my A game every single day.
How has he improved over the last year?
Oh, I think he laid off the ladies, you know. he's more focused, more dialed in.
So he's laid off the ladies. That was the key to his success there, Shane.
Blaze. That was my nickname in high school.
Blaze Berkowitz. Hey, remember that name. And you know who the third, you have any idea who the third string, I think, quarterback is at Vanderbilt, Shane?
No, I have no idea.
His dad was a head coach in the conference. Is that
Muschamp?
Muschamp's son.
Yeah.
They're loaded. If Vanderbilt can go three deep at quarterback these
Muschamp
days.
Will be up there, I would imagine. He has stepped away, they said, just to watch his kids. So,
right.
So maybe you'll see him up there in Nashville. Mark Richt got a place up there. I mean, all the Georgia boys are coming, you know?
All right. Well, hey, that's all I got on this episode. You got anything else before we hop off?
Just a reminder, we'll be on tomorrow, 7:30, with the SEC Hangover. So I look forward to seeing everybody there bright and early. I appreciate all the cousins showing up. It's time, ain't it? Man, we're within 30 days. We got the Netflix special coming out. We got a really, really awesome month. So July's done, right? Is today 31st? I believe it is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so August, man. And you know what we have in August? SEC football, baby. So, yes, I am pumped and excited. I appreciate everybody.
Hey, shout out to Stephen Up, Shane. He says, Shane was the blaze that dated squishy, squashy, whatever it was.
Oh, squashy. Oh, man. I hope she wasn't watching yesterday.
Yeah, and like Shane said, so we're going to run out of interviews this weekend. I'm probably going to post what we got left.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday, and that'll end their media day's coverage. Again, fall camps going rampant. I hope, fingers crossed, nobody gets injured, no emergencies needed. But if there is, if maybe it's not an injury, maybe it's something else, I'll be jumping on emergency podcasts all weekend long. So stay locked in on the channel. And hell, we've had it before. We're like, there's news. People want us to do an emergency podcast.
Yes.
Tag us. And hell, I don't leave my house. So if I see it, I'll jump on. I'll do an emergency podcast if necessary. But that's all I got, Shane. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the cousins out there. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.